So the conflict then we have, the antithesis condition, is caught between the father's command, which is right or wrong, and the dopamine isn't in that. See, that's not coming from the environment. There's dad in the environment, but his word. See, faith comes by hearing. It's not by sight. So when the father gives you a command, it's not a sight issue. Again, science is by sight, observable, repeatable. But this is outside of sight. This requires faith. Even in a secular world, a godless home, parents who don't know of God at all, giving commands to their children, are giving them a system, a patriarchal system, a top-down system. A system that, and I call it system of righteousness, in that, and the Marx understood this. The social psychologists, those at the top echelon of this, those who have done their research, understood that righteousness carries two attributes or two things with it: the Father's command and chastening. See, when God created Adam, Adam wasn't righteous in and of himself. See, only God is righteous in and of himself. He's spirit. When God formed man from the dust of the ground, that's the flesh, and then he breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of man, he became a living soul. Only God can separate the spirit from the soul. We can't, because only God knows. We don't know. And so therein we're children, and he's the Father, if you look at structure. So general systems theory, systems analysis, is all about looking at the systems. Okay, so you recognize there's a system of righteousness. That's the father who gives commands to their children and then chastens them when they disobey. That was how God introduced himself to Adam. You can eat of all these trees. That's dopamine. That's pleasure. But you can't eat of that tree. By the way, that would be also dopamine and pleasure. Why not that tree? Because I said so. See, it didn't depend upon Adam having any understanding. It was a command. In fact, you'll see that Adam abdicated, but the woman, one called Eve in at that time, but the woman didn't understand. She was deceived. Since we're all coming to this world as babies, we're deceived because we look at the world first for pleasure. And so every time she's going by that forbidden tree, just like David looking at Bathsheba, just accidentally, he shouldn't have been at his house, brand new home. He's home looking at it, getting some dopamine. He's already in trouble, should be out with the troops. But he's looking over there, he sees Bathsheba, and then he says, okay, I want to control the environment. And so Eve, every time she's going by the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which she can't have, there's a cannot, must not, thou shalt not. But her natural inclination is to be at one with the creation, with the world, in pleasure, in the moment. So every time she's going by that tree, she's having this urge, this natural inclination to, and she addresses it as touch. But there's more than that. See, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It is going to go all the way. Yeah, you just go part of the way. You got to go all the way eventually. But at first you say, well, no, it's just touch. You know, Dad, I just want to sit on the porch. What he's wanting to do is get you to change your paradigm. See, he's wanting you to give a little. Can't you just give a little? What he's saying is change your paradigm. Just a little bit. Tweak it. Because our fathers chase us for their own pleasure. And so if you can get your parent into dialogue, which makes you equal. Why are you equal with your parent as a child? In how you feel, what you think. That's where you find equality. You don't find equality in the Father's command. That's why Jesus humbled himself, took on the form of a man, a child under a father, and he said, what my Father commands, that's what I do. And then you find him in the temptation saying, Dad says, it is written, it is written, it is written. He's not saying, well, you know, Dad, let me tweak it a little here. In fact, that's what Satan said. You know, just jump off the pinnacle. And that's control of life. That'd be pride of life. And God has promises for you. He'll protect you. But Jesus' response is, don't tempt God. Don't tempt your Father. Yes, he loves you, but don't push it. And because you're wanting to change him. You're wanting him to change his paradigm. This is what we all did with our fathers, because we're born in this deceitful and wicked heart. We have it. We're deceived because we think we're good. See, pleasure is always good in our eyes. A pleasure would be a good thing for a child, not pain. And so we make that the criterion of right and wrong. So when our father said we couldn't do something that we wanted to do, we'd think, well, that's not good. Dad's not good. But then you've learned, well, everybody says he is, you know, and so you sort of have, you're caught in this dissonant state. Your flesh is saying no, but your head, like Paul says, with my mind, I love the law of God. God is good. The law is good. But my flesh wouldn't agree. Because the flesh wants the dopamine. it wants whatever stimulated the dopamine. So your friends are going down to the park, have a good time. And you may not be anything wrong. It's just that dad says you can't go. And now, in fact, with the tree of knowledge of good and evil, there's no indication that there was any problem with the tree itself. It's just God said that tree you can't have. Those cookies you can't have. You can't go do this. You can't do that. It's that top-down system, that patriarchal paradigm, that was the issue. Adam and Eve didn't die because of that tree. The tree didn't physically kill them. It wasn't the poisonous tree. In fact, she was correct in her observation. As a scientist, it was good for food, pleasing the eyes, desires to make one wise. Good for food, that's lust of the flesh. It's lust now because she disobeyed. She decided that pleasure, being equal with the world, was more important than obedience to the Father. And so there was the lust of the flesh. Lust of the eyes was she's looking at and getting pleasure from it. It's desirous to make one wise. And the pride of life is I can control it. If I can control it, I will be like God. I can decide for myself what is right and wrong. What's the problem? Is that when it comes to God, only God is righteous in and of himself. But we take on that position. We become righteous in and of ourselves, and all we have to work with is approach pleasure and avoid pain. And when we say to ourselves, well, there's nothing wrong with that, that's good. No, it's wicked. You practice that, you'll deceive yourself into abomination, because there's no end to that path until death. See, that's where you end up with the depravity of man begins with one step. So you can't get to the end of the dialectic path without walking down it. And the first step might seem harmless. We would say, well, it's just one tree. Why the whole world condemned? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It was just one tree. It wasn't just the tree. It was the paradigm. They did a paradigm change, and they needed a facilitator. You ever heard about a facilitator of change? The facilitator of change is always 100%, 100 proof, playing the role of Lucifer. Now you can throw scriptures all you want in there. He is changing the Word of God. He has to change it, because Jesus didn't. Jesus just said it. It is written, it is written, it is written. You can tell the scriptures are changed because somebody asks you how you feel, what you think about it. See, that's all Satan was doing. Eve, how do you feel about God's command? In that phrase, yea, hath God said, thou shalt not eat of every tree in the garden. He's asking her, that's phrase, to ask her for her opinion. Your opinion, he didn't say, give me God's command. See, he entrapped her. He seduced her. With a sentence structure that allow her feelings to come out. Because she says, for God has said, thou shalt not eat of it, nor touch it. There's that's an opinion. See, your opinion is how you feel. Every time she's going by that forbidden tree, she has this dialectic urge, this urge to relate with it. But she turns from it. She's always turning from it because of the fear of God. She whether she loves God's word or not, I don't know. I would assume she does. She loves God. But when she comes to that object of gratification, she's being tempted, drawn to the world, drawn by the flesh, to be at one with the world. But she turns away from it. But now a facilitator comes in, And she's responding now with her opinion, because he asked her for opinion. You go to a town hall meeting, and the facilitator, he's not going to ask for the truth. You know, we have a bridge washed out. He's not going to ask, well, who are the engineers we need to look at, and let's just get the facts out here and the bottom line and end the meeting. You know, let's all vote yay or nay, and that's it. No, he's asking everybody questions. Now, the answers are in the questions. If I ask you what you know, you're going to give me a knowing response. But if you ask you how you feel, that's your opinion. Knowing is preaching and teaching. Feeling is, your opinion is how you feel, what you think. There is equality in opinions. There is not equality in preaching and teaching. See, because it's a top-down system. But so it's a trap. He's seducing you by creating an environment where you now can take control of the outcome. Because now your feelings, see, Dad says you can't go out. What do? We ask Dad why. Because if we can get him to share in a I feel or I think format, we're equal with him. Because we can say, well, Dad, I feel. Well, Dad, I think. That's all the facilitator is doing in that room. He is cutting off the father's language. He's destroying a culture. The word of God is a culture. See, again, what my father commands, that's what I do. He who does my father's will in heaven is my brother, sister, mother. Call no man father on earth. It's a patriarchal paradigm. It's a top-down system. Jesus came obeying his father to the death. And he says, deny yourself. There's the approach pleasure. Pick up your cross. That's avoid pain. You get rid of both of those. Don't make approaching pleasure, avoiding pain your foundation, because you can't follow Jesus. Because the whole witness in the life of Christ was patriarchal obedience to the Father. Father, you gave me these men. Father, I've been faithful to you. Read John 17. But that facilitator is deliberately trained. He's deliberately to ask you how you feel, what you think, because when you share, again, respond back to him, trying to be nice. You know, we've got to solve the problem, the crisis. They love crisis, because that's where you're more apt to share your opinion out of desperation to maybe get it back on track, because you know there's something wrong in this meeting. But once you share I feel and I think, your opinion, you've just lost your father. You've just lost, and they would say, well, you know, when you say, well, I know, how do you know? Well, you end up saying, well, you know, the engineer, the book, because this is old school. You write a thesis paper and you go, I feel, I think the teacher will flunk you. You have to go to some other source. You have to go to the math book, the science book. As a believer, you go to the Word of God. I know, just as Jesus. Jesus went to the Scriptures. He didn't turn to even himself. He turned to the Scriptures. He gives us the right order. That's the so-called old world order. It's not old. Well, it's old because God told Adam, don't do this, and if you do, you're going to be chastened. See, that's God. That's the Father. Fathers do that. They lecture, they preach, and they teach because they know the consequence of life if their children go do their own thing. Just approaching pleasure, avoiding pain. They're seducible. They're deceivable because they're seducing because they're going to be chasing that object gratification. Somebody's just going to dangle something glittering out there for your children, and then stimulates the pleasure, and then deceive them by saying, "Oh, trust me, I care about you." That's Satan, you know. Oh, God knows the day you eat thereof, you won't die. You know, it's a whole format of, you know, he's just been fellowshipping with God, just came from the chamber with God, an assistant professor, you know, and God's not going to be upset about this. He's deceiving you. You're never deceived because somebody lied to you. You're deceived because you trusted him. She trusted him. Cursed is a man who trusts in man. But in this case, it was an angel. We're to trust in the Lord with all our heart. And lean not to our own understanding. Because that's where your understanding you're leaning to comes from, is how you feel, what you think. Because that's sense perception. And it ties to your sensuous need, and it's your sense experience. Because, again, sensuous need was to touch the tree. Sense perception, nothing wrong with it. That's where she was thinking. And sense experience was she ate it. She did it. There was nothing wrong with it. I can control my own life. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They're all three from our human nature, becoming at one with the creation in pleasure in the moment. It's justifying ourselves according to our own human nature. And God calls that an abomination. Are we a culture of abomination? It's because a culture war was declared on you, on your soul. Anytime you come into a classroom, the workplace, the church, Bible study, quote-unquote, church, quote-unquote, and you're asked how you feel and what you think in regards to the Word of God, that's Satan role-playing before you. It doesn't matter how you feel or what you think. On the Day of Judgment, your opinion of God's Word is not going to matter. You're God, you know, at this thought, well, God, I didn't feel like this was fair. It doesn't count. Your opinion does not count. That's why Jesus said, it is written. It is written. He showed us in his life and in his death, his opinion didn't count. What my Father commands, that's what I do. That's a patriarchal paradigm. We can't find that, by the way, in our own nature. So we as children never understand our fathers because of the paradigm, because of the top-down system, because our fathers give us a right-wrong choice. We want approach pleasure, avoid pain choice. Two different paradigms. So, again, I've gone a long ways to get here, but those who think dialectic have to have the classroom start with, how do you feel, what do you think? Have to start with the children. In the workplace, they have to start with the workers. How do you feel, what do you think? Get everybody's opinion out. You know, let's do a little brainstorming. You know, and get the storms out of the brain. We've just got a room full of chaos. And the reason is because conscience, conscience, is and not comes from the Father. The conscience comes from the Father's structure. Now, people say, well, can we recover America? No, it's gone. Because the children are gone. Now, I'm not saying that you just give up, go find a cave somewhere and pull a rock over your head. No, you do as God calls you to do. We are to be a witness as our Heavenly Father directs us. Our Father which art in heaven, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that is through you. That is through me, personally, individually. We are accountable for our behavior, not to man. David said, against thee and thee alone have I sinned. It's before God. And I told my children, you're not accountable for what happens to you. But you are accountable for how you respond. Are you responding out of how you feel, what you think? Or are you responding to whatever's happened to you because Dad said so? See, because our response was, well, I oughta. Your response of how you feel, your think, will always be tweaking and changing God's Word. You want to have His control. See, He has control over you, but you want to now control. And you want to control for the sake of approaching pleasure and avoiding pain. Now, your dad's older than you, but now if you're equal, then, and again, this is where Hegel, if you've read some articles, I talk about Hegel's intent that, let me see if I can even find it here, that he equates the father and the children all as equal. Yeah, he writes, this is in his work, System of Ethical Life, on account of the absolute and natural, and it's absolute, by the way. When you start with thesis as a children, it's absolute, and it's natural. Oneness, and that, by the way, is approach pleasure and avoid pain, and that's you and me. How can, again, Paul says, who can deliver me from this body of death? There's only one answer, by the way, Jesus Christ. He is equal with a father, but took on the form of a child under a father, that we might know the Father. See, we can't otherwise. And so all their solution is synthesis. Get rid of the Father. Synthesis is get rid of the Father. Find what we all have in common. What do we all have in common? Approach pleasure, avoid pain. And if we start with I feel and I think in all our meetings, in the classrooms, everywhere else, there's no Father's authority. Because there is no Father's authority in an opinion. In dialogue, you negate the Father. Because it's equality. Again, you said why to your dad. You tried to make him equal. He goes, because I said so, that stops the equality. Oh, he looked you in the eye and he said, do you understand what I just said? Now, you understand that that's not experiential. That is, you're going to get a chastening, a whooping, if you disobey. There's a top-down order. But Hegel says, on account of the absolute and natural oneness of the husband, the wife, and the children, where there is no antithesis. What he means by that, there's no top-down order. Now, what's the consequence of that? Doesn't that sound good? Oh, sort of a kumbaya moment. Oh, we just in hand in hand in a circle, just all feeling good together, being very positive. Then he goes on. Here's the consequence. He writes of person to person. There's no top down of person to person or of subject to object. The surplus. Now, here's where it goes. You like that? You want to go that way? That's communism. Everything is common. And he explains it. This isn't Marx writing this. This is Hegel. He says the surplus is not the property of one of them. In other words, it's not God's garden anymore. Since their indifference is not a formal or legal one. So if we're all equal, you have no right to say, this is my land, not your land. These are my children, not your children. You have no rights if we're equal. See, you have no righteousness, because righteousness is a command and chastening. You don't have the right to command anybody and chasten them, because that's a top-down system. Now you have to dialogue with your children. See, environmentalists go by your property. They see those trees, beautiful property. You get dopamine because that's why you build the house the way you do. Because every time you come and drive up the drive, you get a dopamine rush. You take pictures of people you love and you put them up there and you get a dopamine rush. You get pleasure from it. The wife, she arranges her kitchen so she can get pleasure from it. So our whole life is shaped around trying to create an environment where we can get pleasure from it. Now, the environmentalists come by and they see those beautiful trees, and you're going to cut some of them because you got to pay bills. You know, those are my trees, not your trees. I can do whatever I want. No, you cannot. Because everybody who comes down this road and sees your trees, they get dopamine from it. This is equality. How we feel and what we think is equality. Your opinion, see, is equality, but you're saying, well, you can or cannot do. I can do this, and you know, you can't tell me what I can. I can't cut my trees. Now all of a sudden you have government coming in telling you you can't, because those aren't your trees. Because you had a town hall meeting, some facilitator came in and said, asked you how you felt and what you thought, and you abdicated your property rights. You abdicated your children. You put them in a classroom where now the facilitator, role-playing the teacher, or teacher role-playing a facilitator, asked your children how they felt, what they thought. Just cut your head off. And put the collective head in there, you know, in its place. Notice psychology is always about the superego. That's the voice of the village. That's groupthink. What would the community think? Common unity, see? What do we all have in common? Lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. That's equality. Equality is sodomy. See, that's the sodomy. Sodom, the city, what was it? They were equal, you know. And two came in who were righteous. Lot was righteous. They were willing to kill the righteous to get to the righteous. Because their whole agenda was equality. Tower of Babel was equality. God broke it up. Changed the language. See, language ties to culture. God will give you his language and it'll separate you from the world. The ecclesia is the called out ones. You're called out of the world. He'll change your language. Because his word is a culture. It's a culture not of this world. It's not built upon approaching pleasure, avoiding pain. It's a language of putting your hand to the plow and not looking left, seeing the pain come and running from it. And, you know, there's the furrow going off to the right. And it's not the pleasure coming from the right and there's the furrow going to the right as well. You're chasing pleasure and avoiding pain. No, that's not God. He says, put your hand to the plow. He's a loving father. He's not going to say, gee, I want to put some pain in your life. But denying yourself is painful. Oh, I can't go out and do this. Well, you keep focusing on what you can't do. You're just going to get mad at God. You're going to be a child of rebellion. You're going to be going to oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda. You're going to end up like Eve. Satan facilitator comes along. Have you ever been told you couldn't do something you wanted to do? Well, yeah, my dad wouldn't let me do this. Man, he's got you. You know, he's got you by your horns. Because that's your deceitful and wicked heart. It's just now been released. If your heart's not changed, only God can change your heart. Only the Lord can change your heart. See, and then your heart is trusting in Him. If your heart is trusting in you and the world, then when a facilitator comes along and asks you how you feel, what you think, you just say, well, it doesn't matter. Because how I feel, what I think, doesn't really matter. My opinion doesn't count. I love my Father. I want to be like Jesus. See, because Jesus wasn't hung up the night before the cross. Lord, you know, Father, let this cup pass from me. That's his opinion. But then he goes, nevertheless, thy will be done. You know, so that's the role of if you get everything equal, say in your home, you just dialogue how you feel, what you think. The dad is no longer in authority in his home. Then the surplus, whatever you produce out of the home, is not the property of any one of them. You don't have the right to cut those trees. You don't have the right to build your house the way you want to build it. You don't have rights, inalienable rights, which no man can put a lien on. Now you have human rights. What are human rights? Natural inclination to approach pleasure, avoid pain, you know, to be at one with the world in pleasure in the moment. Then he says, since their indifference is not a formal or legal one. One author wrote, I think Norman O. Brown, he says, by dialectic, I mean an activity of consciousness. In other words, I'm consciously thinking and acting on it, of circumventing, getting around the formal logical law of contradiction. Formal is dead. It's formal. Do this, don't do that. That's formal. You know, formal dress. Dress this way. You know, you're told how to dress when you go to this luncheon. It's formal. It's logical. You know, it's cold. It's not emotional. It's logical. Formal, logical, law of contradiction. In other words, it's a law that contradicts your feelings and your thoughts in the moment. And she said, how can we circumvent the Father? Because that's the only way we can see our fathers. Ah, through dialogue. You actually tried to get your dad to do that when you asked him why, but you were too weak. He would say, because I said so, and he would then use his force to keep you from doing it. Now we have government that is now communist. And you know when you're in a communist country, when you go into a meeting and they ask you how you feel, what you think, and you stand up and you say, well, it doesn't matter how I feel, what I think, it's what I know. And here's what I know is we're going to do it this way. Well, you know what? You're going to be treated just like you would treat your parent, your father, if you were in a classroom, learn that he was irrational because he wasn't changing with a change in times, and you would go home and treat him as irrelevant. You're irrelevant. If you've been in church growth and you open up the Word of God and you try to reprove and correct and rebuke from the Father's language like Jesus did, you will find out that you are irrelevant. See, you're going to be excommunicated without writ. Maybe with writ. But nobody's interested in listening to you. That's the deer in the headlight look. Why? Because they're always wanting to hear how you feel and what you think. There's no property. There's no property rights. There's no, this is mine, not yours. It's gone. By the way, if you say this is mine, not yours, you recognize that's yours and not mine. And so, getting back to Marx, he said, individualism destroys the individual. It's society. It's that group hug. It's that the fellowship where you put aside God's word because it causes controversy. And you get on my website, authorityresearch.com. I have an article on why I continue to use the sources that come from the Textus Receptus because that's one source. Now all the new translations come from heresy sources. Now we have two or more is dialectic. We can dialogue how we feel, what we think. You bring that into the church and you force the fellowship into equality because we can only find equality not in the Word of God anymore, but in how we feel or what we think about the Word of God, and therefore we lose everything. You lose your soul there because God's Word speaks to your soul. Men's opinion of it. Christians are running down the bookstore getting everybody's opinion of the Word of God. It only speaks to your head and heart. Oh, it just makes you feel good. Oh, he said that so wonderfully. But no, thy word, his word. What did Jesus say? Peter, this didn't come from you. What didn't come from Peter? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What did Jesus say? Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth from the mouth of God. If you go back to the original scripture, it is your duty not to live by bread alone. It is your duty to live by every word which proceeds from your Father's mouth. Boy, is that foreign today. Because the moment you get church leadership or work or everywhere you turn today, and that person up front is asking you how you feel or what you think, That is not your Father from heaven speaking. That's Hegel. That's Marx. That's Freud. Marx said you got to kill the fathers. Freud said you got to kill them and eat them. So on my website, you know, I put in these quotes, a lot of research. I get, you know, here it is. These guys have written it. It's hard to find it because they put all this positive stuff up front and you're drunk by the time you get down to those pages. And, you know, a drunkard, you tell him, take, well, the bottle and put it aside. No, he's not going to do it. He's going to keep drinking away, going for the gusto, a nation on a drug. You know, it's leadership promises them something and they go drooling after them. That's where we are, a nation of abomination. It can't be resolved politically because the moment you try to restore the home from even a conservative format, you intercept between the father and the child. You got to talk to the fathers. Dad, you got to get your home in order. Well, how can you do it? The wife isn't listening anymore. Her heart isn't, the desire of the heart of the wife is to the husband. If you don't have the wife-husband relationship right, the children-parent relationship isn't going to work. And so now it's all about the woman's feelings. It's her body. So she's focusing on herself and on the kids. And you have complete anarchy in the home. And so the husband can't rule. The wife is in disobedience and the children are off doing their own thing. It's no wonder we have what we have today going on in our nation. Deliberately done. This is the dialectic process. So Hegel continues. He says, so too all contracts regarding property or service and the like fall away. You realize now why you don't really own property? You don't pay your taxes for 3 years. Find out how much property you don't own. And so you've lost it. If those aren't your children. The government can do whatever they want with your children. So all contracts regarding property or service and the like fall away. Here, because these things are grounded in the presupposition of private personality. Instead, Hegel writes, the surplus, labor, and property are absolutely common to all, inherently and explicitly. That is a communist statement. That is the consensus meeting. That is a Soviet system, diverse group. Coming together because we have effects from our father and our life experience of the past. This is right, that is not. Dialoguing, no father's voice now, to a consensus. Now we have come to a communist oneness in mindset on a one group think. This is what we think. It's consensus, a feeling of oneness over social issues. We're now materialized, touch, taste, sight, smell, sound, now ruling over us in a facilitated meeting. That's a Soviet. That's how your local church is, the community church, excuse me, that mega church is finding out how to address your problems. Just shaping everything around how you feel, what you think. Taking polls, surveys, feasibility studies, practicing synergism and all these practices. By the way, the Eastern religion comes in behind this because Eastern religion is dialectic. It's just man's effort to know God outside of his word. And all we can find are gods of our own creating, gods who teach us to approach pleasure and avoid pain. I'll close with this, gone past my half hour on this one. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. Let him be the one who directs your steps. Get into the Word of God. Read it. Read about a loving Father who sent his loving Son. Jesus loved his Father to the point of where he was willing to die in obedience to his Father that you might have eternal life. That's your Heavenly Father's love for you. The prodigal son story was not about the son. It was about the father. The son thought his inheritance was in his father's money. No, your inheritance is in your father's love for you.